Take your liberty.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be in God's house. Amen. And I just wanted to say thank so much to the pastor for my final sermon that I'll be here. No, I'm just... He kind of emphasized that they haven't been invited back, so I was kind of wondering if he was just sending me a little note, a little message there. But it is such a delight to be back, and we just, you know, it's interesting when you're in ministry, your family just kind of grows, and so there's so many here that we've got to know over the years, and just a delight to be back and see you again. If this is your first time here today, if you're a visitor, don't worry. Next week, there's going to be a wonderful message. Hallelujah. Pastor will be back. Praise God. So don't judge your visit on this one sermon this morning. But I'm so thankful to have my best friend, my prayer partner, Nancy, with me this morning. She's with us. And you might notice that Hannah, our daughter who used to play violin, she is not with us today. And we are officially empty nesters. And so Hannah has started her first year at Stephen F. Austin, and so we're cheering her on, and we told her the objective is to be employable when it's all said and done. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, you know, we asked folks to remember the Windsor family and the three P's when we go places, and y'all may remember, may not. The first P stands for prayer, because without prayer there'd be no ministry. Amen. And the second P stands for protection, because we just need God's hand upon us, especially after driving through rush hour traffic on Saturday evening, of all things, yesterday in the Metroplex. And I mean, you know, there's a lot of people driving out there, you know, and when they learn how, they're really going to enjoy it, I tell people. But until then, you know. And then the third P just stands for perfection. We really want to be in God's perfect will. And he's just been so good to us and keeping us busy. And if you're a prayer warrior, please, please pick up one of our prayer cards out on the table in the foyer. And please say a prayer for us. Put us up on the refrigerator. And every time you raid that fridge, just remember us and say a prayer for, especially for Nancy, putting up with me and all the kids and kiddos and what God wants to do in our ministry. And it's been kind of exciting. Actually, there's a brand new book the Lord's helped me to write, and it just got published last month. And so it's called Learn Evangelism of All Things, Giving Away the Greatest Gift. And I really believe that salvation is the greatest gift. And this has been the Lord. The Lord's really kind of kicked me to really encourage the saints that, you know, we all have a story. And God may just want to use your story to be the story that changes somebody else's life for eternity. And there's people that you can talk to that I can't talk to. There's people that you have earned their respect. You can just get straight up in their face and you can talk to them the way they need to hear about a change needs to come in their life. And so that's just, this book was an encouragement. There's a little pamphlet out there too. And of course the old book on becoming a spirit-empowered evangelist. The Lord just kind of, I'd asked him, you know, he wants us to change vocations. And he said, I want you to go where I tell you to go and say what I tell you to say. And I just, and he kind of said it pretty forceful that one day I was really praying for several days, asking him, where does he want us to go? And he said that pretty forceful. And being the old military guy I was, I just said, yes, sir. I mean, you know, when the Lord speaks and gives you directions, you just need to say, yes, sir, and go on down the line. And so appreciate the veterans that are here today, Veterans Day on Monday. And I'm a veteran myself. I love my country. I'm very patriotic. And I love the freedom that we have in our country. And, you know, anybody who's a veteran, you know that the real heroes, they didn't come home. They came home in a box, or they got buried somewhere else. But I believe what Dave Reaver said. He said, you know, if we ever lose our freedom, we'll never have it again. And freedom's not free. It's not free. And, you know, those of us who've been in, there's some interesting folk you run into in the military, wherever you go in life, right? And, but, you know, I'm so thankful for this country, and I'm so thankful for the God of heaven and earth that has blessed this country. And I love every time we sing that, God bless America. I pray that way. God have mercy on America. God bless America. We need God. Hallelujah. And praying for our leaders. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, I want to go to the book of Joel. I want to go to the Old Testament this morning. And if you get to Matthew, you've gone a little too far. You know, I know Joel's not real big. So, you know, if you get to Nahum, that's a big book. You know, that you've gone a little too far there, too. You go back from Malachi and Habakkuk, go back before Amos. And You'll get to Joel. There's only three big chapters. If you find Daniel, that's one of the large, you know, he's got a few pages devoted to him there in the scripture. You get on past him and Hosea, and then you'll land at Joel. And if you get to chapter 3 in Joel, I want to share out of chapter 3. I'm going to start with verse 13. And I'm actually going to read from the English Standard Version this morning. A lot of my memorization is all from King James. So when you squeeze me, that just kind of comes out. So get ready. Praise God. Hallelujah. Joel chapter 3, starting with verse 13. Here's a part of the prophecy. It says, "Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Go in, tread, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their evil is great. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining." Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, I'm so thankful there's a name that's greater than any name. And at that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess when it's all said and done. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Lord, we're so thankful, Lord. I just pray, Lord, this morning, Lord, I'm thankful for that anointing, and I pray it come in even greater measure this morning. I pray you destroy every attack of the enemy, every snare of the fowler. Lord, every curse of witchcraft, every hex and hoax of the enemy. God, every distraction, Father. Lord, would you push back the darkness this morning, every detour. God, would you destroy every snare. Lord, that anointing represented by the blood that was shed up on the cross at Calvary. Lord, that anointing, the anointing, Lord, that breaks that yoke, would you allow it to come from the very rooftop to the foundation of this, your house of prayer this morning? God, I pray for each person here, each person that hears this word this morning, God, that you would minister personally to them. Lord, would you prepare hearts to receive and ears to hear the message you've given me? Lord, I just want it to be your message and not man's. And we'll be sure to give you all the glory and all the praise, and all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Well, have you ever grown weary fighting for what was right? Seeing injustices done one after another, after another, after another? You know, it's interesting, Paul trying to encourage us in the scriptures, he said, you know, let us not become weary in well-doing, for the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. If we don't give up. But did Paul really know how tough it was going to be? I mean, come on. I mean, you know, social media, if I don't get likes on my social media posts, did he realize the trauma I was going to go through? I'm a has-been. It's over now, you know. Did he really know that Black Friday's coming and the kind of inhospitable people they're going to be at the malls when I'm out there trying to get those good deals? Did he ever face rush hour traffic in the Metroplex area? Come on. No, but I think he faced a lot worse. I think Paul could identify. He knew how hard life was going to be. It's interesting, Joyce Meyer, she said, we all get weary sometimes and we tend to think that life is what makes us weary. It's somebody else's fault. It's life. But it's comforting to know when we are in a difficult situation, we're in a valley, if you will, of decision, that we have a righteous judge on our side who does not sleep. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't have to take a break. There's nothing too hard for him. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. That's my God. And this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about your valley of decision. Your valley of decision. There's a couple things I want to share with you this morning. And we need to understand that God will fight for his purposes. God will fight for his purposes. And one of those, to that end, he will not tolerate sin. He just won't tolerate it. Now, you know, Billy Graham said sin is anything contrary to the perfect will of God. Anything contrary to the perfect will of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I can raise my hand pretty quickly that there have been times in my life when I did things or I had attitudes or I had thoughts that were contrary to the perfect and holy will of God. We have all wrestled with that. As a matter of fact, we live in a fallen world.
So we have this thing called the flesh, the sinful part of life that we wrestle with, we struggle with. Every single one of us, from the pulpit to the parking lot, we all wrestle with sin. And the sin of God's people that Joel was prophesying to, it had grown to an overwhelming level. Matter of fact, what we read in verse 13, put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Go in and tread, for the wine press is full. The vats overflow with sin. It wasn't of all the bounty and the wonderful things that we read about in other sections in the scripture that talk about all the overflowing abundance, the harvest, it's wonderful, it's great, hallelujah. No, their sin had gotten to the point that judgment was coming. That's what Joel's beginning to speak to the people. And this valley of decision is really a biblical name that was given to the valley of Jehoshaphat, a lot of commentators think. Earlier, before then, it was called the valley of Hinnom. If we go back to verse 2 in chapter 3, it says, I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my heritage Israel, because they have scattered them among the nations and have divided up my land and have cast lots for my people and have traded a boy for a prostitute and have sold a girl for wine and have drunk it. The Valley of Jehoshaphat. It's interesting, Jehoshaphat actually means Yahweh judges. And today many believe that this valley of Jehoshaphat, it starts at the foot of Mount Zion and extends all the way to the Kindred Valley. Matter of fact, you go there today, there's numerous tombs that are there. Jewish, Muslim, and Christian. They all felt this was a valley of judgment. This is where the end's going to be. We want to be buried there. It's a place where God will destroy his enemies. A place that is called Armageddon, where the last great battle will take place. It was a place of sin and judgment. And you see, the sad thing, I guess, is that Israel's sin had driven them into the valley instead of onto the mountaintop where God could be found. But if there's a message for you and I, let our troubles, let our valleys be the impetus, the driving force that drives us not down into the valley. Let it drive us to the mountaintop where we're going to find God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it's interesting, I guess, that when we allow sin into our lives, sin has a tendency to drive us into the valleys. It has a tendency to drive us down where judgment awaits. In the original Hebrew, the word for the Hinnom Valley was Hihiros. I know that sounds like something I should take a little medicine for, but we translated it on the ancient Greeks, called it Ginos, and then we kind of evolved a little bit more, and the word evolved into Gehenna. And some of you Bible scholars, you all of a sudden that word Gehenna strikes a chord, because that was the place where those who had rebelled against God, those in sin, were going to be cast. Gehenna is also where a place we call hell. You see, our sin literally drives us to the very gates of hell if it's not abated, if it's not stopped, if there's not a remedy. But there's a remedy, hallelujah. There's a remedy for you and I. But Proverbs chapter 9, verse 17 and 18, Solomon said this: stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that their guests are in the depths of hell. In the depths of hell. You see, God will not tolerate sin. He can't. He can't. He's a perfect God. He's a holy God. He won't tolerate it. But the wonderful thing about our God, even though he's fighting for his purposes, he tempers his judgment with mercy. Amen. How many of you are glad for mercy? Amen. I'm really glad for mercy, especially when I say something I shouldn't to my wife, Nancy. Hallelujah. I need some mercy. Praise God. I love mercy. But it's interesting, verse 13, it said, for the harvest is ripe. So why is God waiting? The harvest is ripe. Why is he waiting? Because he's a merciful God. His mercy, his timing is perfect, praise God. See, he's waiting for you and I to get things straightened out with him. He's waiting for you and I to come to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, would you forgive me of my sin? Would you cleanse me of my sin? Would you help me get past this bondage, this thing that's keeping me back? But you know the interesting thing is that God is also waiting for your enemies. You see, he loves them too. He's waiting for those that you have problems with in hopes that they will come back. He would that none perish, but that all would come to repentance. Amen. That's the word of God. God longs that every single one would come into his presence. Paul told us in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Let me help clarify it a little bit more. Paul told us again in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live, in the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. God loves even your enemies. We need to have the heart of God, have the heart of Christ, hallelujah, have the Spirit of the living God help give us patience. Lord, help us to walk the walk and talk the talk. What good does that do when you get nasty to people that have been nasty to you? How is that showing the exemplary life? Oh yeah, they go to church over there in that part of town. Oh yeah, they say they're a Christian, but we know. I've run into people like that. I've run into people that are Christian in name only. And many of us here have. We went around the room, but God, hallelujah, but God. He longs for you and I to be able to walk and be transformed by the renewing of our mind and the renewing of our heart. Praise God. You know, there was that old little worship chorus that said, when that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it's when that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwell in you, it will quicken your mortal body. If that Spirit dwell in you, it will quicken that mortal body. When the Spirit dwell in you, that's what God wants. We all have tough days. We all get beaten down. We all get tripped up sometimes. But it's the Spirit of God, hallelujah, that brings liberty. It brings, hallelujah, the blood of the Lamb brings forgiveness, praise God. And he allows us to walk in this newness of life. And when you and I ask forgiveness of sin and invite Jesus Christ to be the Lord of our life, you know what? We're dying to ourselves. And we can all say amen, and we can all say, boy, I don't like to do that. You know, because I like what I like. Nancy and I, we went out to eat last week, went to this place, thought we'd go have some wings. You know, that stuff, it's not good for you. We said, well, we'll try it. We haven't been there. So we'll go try it. We went in there. We counted, there were 20 TV screens around the room we were sitting in. I have a problem with one. I don't know. I don't know about you. I have a problem with just one. 20 TV screens. We want what we want when we want it, and we usually want it right now. We don't want to wait, right? Everybody turn your cell phone off right now. Praise God. We do. We want what we want. But God said, hey, you've got to die to yourself in our selfish nature so that we can identify with Christ. See, we don't have to wait for this valley of decision that Joel's talking about is coming. You don't have to wait for that. But listen to this morning. When you and I fail to repent, when we fail to ask forgiveness for our sin and be honest with ourselves, I'm going to tell you what, it's never fun when God shows you your true heart to your face. It's never fun. I'm just here to tell you. But, you know, sometimes we just got to put our man pants on, amen? You know, we just got to put them on and get down on our knees and say, God, I'm sorry. But when we fail to repent, we unknowingly store up God's wrath for a future day. Did you know that? When we unknowingly say, well, I'm just not going to talk about it. I'm not going to deal with it. Nobody else knows about it. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to ask for help. I'm not going to ask for prayer. We just unknowingly, we're storing up wrath for a future day. You say, oh, you're just trying to scare people. No, I'm not. You see, Paul warned us in Romans chapter 2, verse 5. He said, but because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. We don't need that. We don't need to wait till the valley of decision, the valley of judgment comes. We don't need to wait and suffer. We can come to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, help me to be the man. Help me to be the woman that you have called me to be. Help me to be the influencer in my community. Help me to be the leader you've called me to be. Help me to walk the walk and talk the talk. You see, it's interesting. Joel, he's prophesying this future judgment, but it's a judgment where humankind doesn't do a thing. It's not going to be you and me or anybody fleshly people out there fighting in the valley. No, it's God's judgment. God and his army, they're going to fight. They're going to serve judgment in the valley of decision. Nobody else. Nobody else. You see, God's going to fight for his purposes. He's going to fight for his purposes. The second thing I want you to know this morning is that he'll fight for his people. God will fight for his people. Amen. Y'all must not have heard what I said. I said God will fight for his people. Hallelujah. That means he's going to fight for you. He's going to fight for me. Because you see, there is a battle coming. There's a battle coming. Now, there are some people that have erred, and they've said that this passage is your valley of decision and that you must turn to God in your valley of decision, and that's only a half-truth. Because, see, Joel's not talking about you and your valley of decision. He's talking about the judgment to come. But, see, it is true. When you and I are in the valley of decision, when we're facing our mountains, when things have gone bad, when we've stumbled, we've fallen, things have not gone the way we thought they were going to go. It is true, we need to turn to God. When we're in the valley of decision, we need to make the right choice and pursue the mountaintop instead of the valley experience. You see, but Joel, he's not talking about that. No, he's talking about how God's going to judge those who have embraced sin and refused to repent. Matter of fact, in John chapter 8, verse 34 through 36, Jesus is speaking, and Jesus answered them. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave or bondservant, some translations say, to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. Let me read that again to you. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Amen. Turn to your neighbor this morning and say, man, I'm about ready to get happy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to your other neighbor and say, he's talking to you, you know. Praise God. But I want you to know he's on our side. Praise God. He's on our side. But you see, when we practice sin or continually open the door to sin in our lives, we become enslaved to that sin. We become bondservants to that sin. Why? Because we love the feel of sin. If sin hurt, there'd be a lot less of it. Don't say? But it feels good, doesn't it? Feels good. I ran hard from God for 12 years. I ran hard from God. And it wasn't until I was trying to serve Uncle Sam and be all I could be in a little apartment over in Germany where I had a divine encounter with God Almighty. And he showed me that he was real. And he changed my life. He changed my heart. All the things I'd been chasing after and everybody else said, oh, you got to have this to be happy. Boy, whoever leaves with the most toys wins and all this kind of stuff. You know, all these things the world said you got to have to find fulfillment left me hungry for something else. But God, hallelujah. There's a battle coming. We want to enjoy that sin, but here's the truth. Here's the truth I want you to take home this morning. Those in sin, they don't get to stay in the house. If you're in sin, you do not get to stay in the house. Only the children get to stay in the house. The son, hallelujah. Only God's children. I mean, would you open your door to those who are in sin to come and influence your children? Would you open the door to sickness to come in and, oh, it's okay, go ahead and bring sickness to all my children around here? How ludicrous is that? Would you open the door and let the thief come in? Say, why don't you just go ahead and take everything I have? Oh, this was an heirloom. Please go ahead and take that first, you know? And, oh, don't worry about that. The children, teach them how to do that too, would you? How ludicrous is that? You don't let somebody that's going to hurt your family in the house if you can help it. You don't let them in. And God's not going to let them in either. You know, I'll be the first to admit, I don't understand everything that God allows to happen. But you know, Deuteronomy 29:29 says the secret things belong to God. I know he's a good God. He's a perfect God. Hallelujah. And God's going to judge those who have sinned against him and hurt his children. He's going to do that in his mercy. But you see, the thing about God is his judgment is just and fair. Ours isn't. Ours isn't. I don't care if your nickname's Puddin'. Our judgment isn't always fair and full of mercy. I've seen some little petite Puddins turn around and have flame coming out of their eyeballs that I'm getting ready to kill you. Kind of a look. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what your nickname is. God is a fair judge. He's a just judge. So you know what? That's why you and I, we need to let God what he does best and quit trying to help him out. Quit trying to help serve judgment when it's not our place. Quit trying to say, well, this is what we ought to do. We need to pray through is what we need to do. Now, you know, God may have us close the door and terminate a friendship and do some certain things, but you know what? It can't be because, yeah, I'm getting mine back. Hallelujah. That's the wrong emotion to have. And you know, I felt that emotion a lot growing up. When I was in the military, that was the emotion I thrived on. Yeah, take that. Yeah. Turn the other cheek. No, it's your turn. Really. Again. Praise God. Now, I didn't have the feelings that the love of God in my heart. It was missing. And I needed that. I needed a judge who was fair and just. It's interesting, Stephen Brown was talking one time, a commentator. He said, it was F.B. Meyer, I believe, who once said that when we see a brother or sister in sin, there are two things that we do not know. First, we do not know how hard he or she tried not to sin. And second, we do not know the power of the forces that assailed him or her. We also do not know what we would have done in the same circumstances. You and I need to quit trying to help God out in his judgment. That's his role. He's called you and I to be servants. He didn't call us to be slaves. He's not going to make us serve him. He's called us to come humbly yet boldly before the throne of grace and say, God, I'm not perfect. Man, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. Man, I don't even have enough fingers on my hands to tell you how many times I messed up this last week. I could take my shoes off, but I still don't have enough. We all make mistakes. But we don't have to walk around self-righteous like nothing's wrong. We also don't have to walk around all down in the mully grubs, woe is me. God's called us to walk in the spirit of life. Hallelujah. There's people out there that have no hope. There's people out there, they don't know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There's people out there, they're waiting for somebody to give them a ray of hope, to help them, praise God. And we need to realize, hallelujah, that there is a final judgment that will come, and everybody, they're going to receive their just reward. Can I let you know in on a little secret? God's going to win in the end. Hallelujah. He's going to win. Now, we're not going to win down here. This isn't my home, right? That's what the Bible says. This is not my home. But God, the creator of the universe, he's going to win. He's going to win. Matter of fact, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 says, and the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Praise God. There's a battle coming. There's a battle coming. But God, he'll fight for his people. And that's what's so awesome. You see, because this battle that's coming, it's a battle that you and I don't have to fight. It's a battle you and I don't have to fight. Oh, yeah. I know that what the scripture says, take up our cross daily and follow me. I know it's a fight, the good fight of faith, praise God. There's some battles that rage, but this one right here, I mean, if you want the God who's a just God, who's a fair God, who will fight for you, if you want that kind of God on your side, then you and I got to have a right relationship with him. We've got to have that right relationship with him. Paul said, Romans chapter 6, verse 23, where the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. And Christ died on a cross so you and I don't have to face that valley of decision. Hallelujah. We don't have to face it. Paul went on in Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. It took blood on a cross to pay the wage price for sin. The wages of sin is death. And Christ went to the cross willingly. The scripture says he went willingly, despising its shame. He endured the cross, despising its shame for the hope that was set before him. Hallelujah. There's a hope, praise God, that people out there are waiting to hear. Christ died on a cross, beaten beyond recognition for you and me. Beaten beyond recognition. And you know, when I get up in the morning, I look in the mirror, I'm just like, there is nothing in Marshall Windsor that deserved that. There is no day that I wake up and say, God, you owed me. You owed me for all I've done for you. I'm glad you went to the cross for me. I'm glad you were whipped and beaten with cat of nine tails beyond recognition. Bloody, bleeding. I'm glad you did it because I've been doing such a good work for you, I deserve it. How heinous of a thing to say. There is nothing in me that deserved what Christ did willingly for all of God's creation. And it's interesting, you know, Paul says this in Romans 9 and 10. A lot of us know this. Says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. He said, Marshall, how in the world can I confess? How can I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead? How can I believe? I haven't seen it. I don't know him. All I know is there's a stirring in me. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. It begins to make us uncomfortable. It begins to stir in our heart, in our spirit. He's saying, you know what? There's some things not right in your life. And you kind of get to this place, you're like, I'm afraid to jump off because I don't know what's going to happen. And that's called faith. You say, God, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know about all this stuff about believing in my heart you raised from the dead. But God, what I do know is I want you. I want you. I don't care what anybody else says. I'm sick and tired of being in my own valley. I'm sick and tired of it. I want you. I want you. When that happens, God says, you don't worry about the details. I'll take care of it. It's all right. You just come on home. You just come on home. It's okay. He died on a cross for you. He died on a cross for me. And he's just waiting for you and I to take that step of faith. You know, in our passage of scripture in verse 14, it said, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Multitudes, multitudes. It's where God's final judgment's going to take place. It's a place where you and I don't need to be. We don't need to be because he sends his messengers to share his heart. Please come back. But can I submit to you this morning that God doesn't even want us in our own valleys of despair, our own valley of death. He doesn't want us to be there today. He wants you and I to make the step of faith and say, God, I just need you. I just need you. You know, there was actually it was this last week. And, you know, I've told Nancy off and on about, you know, it'd be nice, honey, to have a little piece of land, you know. And I don't know if it's a man thing or what, you know. But it's just mine, you know. And like I'm going to take it with me, you know, when I'm gone. I don't, you know. But this gentleman was, that I had kind of next to us and
some property. He said, you know, he's thinking about selling. And, oh, my goodness, if the truth be known, I was starting to get a little covetous, you know, kind of like drooling covetous. Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah, Lord. Oh, that's the one right there. That's what I know you wanted. That you want that just for me. And I was praying about that. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, Marshall, he said, do you want that land or do you want me? And I just in the flash, I said, God, you know the answer to that. I want you. I don't need the land. He said, well, you can either have the land without me or you can have me and all that I have. All that I have. All that I have. All that I have. You know, you and I need to quit asking God to bless our desires. We need to start blessing God and allowing the desires of his heart to become the desires of our heart. Hallelujah. He knows what's ahead. He knows what's going to happen. Because you know what? When you have God, not only are you going to avoid the final valley of decision and judgment that Joel prophesied, you're going to reap every blessing that God has for you. Every blessing. I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher by any means. But I'm going to tell you what, when you have the peace of God, you can't buy that. You can't buy that. The last verse that I didn't read earlier is verse 16. Let me close with this. It said, the Lord, he roars from Zion and utters his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth quake. But the Lord is a refuge to his people, a stronghold to the people of Israel. Hallelujah. I want you to know, hallelujah, that our God is a stronghold. He's a place of refuge in time of trouble. Hallelujah. And he longs for you and I to have that relationship that we can come boldly yet humbly before the throne of grace and say, Abba, Father, I need you. I need you. You know, there's days when I just get sick and tired of people being nasty in the world today. I get sick and tired of people trying to steal from me, get sick and tired of people trying to lie to me, get sick and tired of just being sick and tired. But I've got a judge who's on my side. And maybe this morning, the Holy Spirit has begun to deal with you that you're not really happy where you are right now. It may be a valley. It may be standing before the mountain. It may be certain things going on in your world. I don't know. But God's longing for you to call out to him and say, God, 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 I need you. I need you like I've never needed you before. He's right here, right now. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, for that amazing grace that you've given to your people, your children. Lord, your creation, amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. We don't deserve it. Lord, I just pray this morning, God, that you would, Lord, you would set the captive free. Lord, that you would pour out a blessing they wouldn't be able to contain. Lord, that you would allow there to be liberty in the house. Lord, for them to move and react and receive from you. God, don't let anything keep them from receiving the blessing you have for them this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed, just nobody looking around. It's nobody's business. You know, just out of respect for each other. But perhaps this morning you say, you know what, Brother Marshall? I know I'm not really where I need to be with the Lord. And man, I want to be this morning. I just want to get things straightened out. I just want to get things taken care of this morning. If that's you, would you just lift a hand real quick, put it back down? Brother Marshall, that's me. I just count it a privilege to pray. I'm not here to embarrass anybody. Thank you. Thank you. Brother Marshall, I'm not really where I need to be, but I want to be this morning. I want to be this morning. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? I'm in the valley. Perhaps this morning you're just going through some things. You just feel burdened, heavy laden. You just need God, the God of heaven and earth, to reach down and minister to you in the midst of your situation.
If that's you this morning, could you just lift a hand real quick, put it back down, Brother Marshall? That's me. I just need God to be God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Church, would you just pray with me this morning? Dear God, here I am. I'm not perfect. I stumble. I need some help. Would you cleanse me? Would you wash me white as snow? Would you forgive me and help me to walk the walk that you have called me to walk? Would you have Jesus Christ truly be the Lord of my life?